Welcome, guys. Welcome once again. Well, I mean, I'll just state the obvious. We made it through 2021. We survived to tell the tale. And so, welcome. You're alive, whether you are wanting to be or not, you're here. And so, it's good to have you. And that's actually not, It is honestly not an accomplishment to be taken for granted. We laugh about it, we chide it. But really, it's not all that insignificant these days. And so I would like here at the outset to take a brief moment and genuinely thank God, to truly thank Him for blessing us with the most important things in life, which are His presence, God Himself, each other, life together, and hope for the future. So, Bob, you want to go ahead and thank God?
Yes, pray. Father, we thank you indeed for that list. Thank you for a relationship with you. Luke talks about relationship all the time. You're the author.
Yeah.
You're the author. We know it. We're grateful. We're grateful. We didn't choose you. You chose us.
That's
you,
right.
You came after us. What an amazing, amazing truth. I ask you to today we could be renewed in that truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen to that. All right. So, now they say that right before you die, your life flashes before your eyes. Have you heard that? Your life flashes before your eyes. Well, let's not have it come to that. Let's go ahead and have 2021 flash before our eyes via a PowerPoint. And so let's go ahead and let that roll. Okay, when you make the PowerPoint, you can stick that in. Yes, special feature. Special feature, John. So, short but sweet, if you were paying attention, you would have noticed that there was no pictures in there regarding the two big things that we do, the fair and the Nordic Fest. That I just go. But, Bob, you have some thoughts you want to share?
Yeah, so we just finished December. I did anyway. And then most reading plans have Revelation, and reading Revelation in December. And I did, and I was really impacted by Revelation 2 and 3. In these two chapters, seven churches are addressed individually, not as a collective whole, but individually. And these are seven physical churches up and down the coast of present-day Turkey. And, I mean, God knows exactly what he's doing because they go in order. Geographically, they go in order. And something weird going on because they're not that far apart geographically, but they have completely different circumstances in them. One thing that runs through the entire length of the letters, though, is one phrase, I know. I think it's 13 times. 13 times that phrase appears. Jesus is talking. Jesus says, I know. And this isn't, you know, Jesus saying, I read the paper and I know what's going on there. No, I know because I know. I know everything. And I know your troubles. And I know your endurance. And I know your perseverance. And I know your struggles. And I know exactly the climate where you are. The spiritual climate. Climate change is not a matter of Jesus' interest, except spiritual climate. I know. And not only does he know, but he knows what the correct assessment is of what's going on and what should be done about it. And I just want to relate one of them, for example. The first church that was addressed is the church in Ephesus. And, you know, we were going through 1 Timothy, and this is exactly where Timothy was when Paul wrote him. And both the letter to Timothy and here in the letter to Ephesus, some false teachers are noted. And one of the commendations that this Ephesian church got was that they were testing these guys, and they knew that's a false prophet. So there are numerous things in this church that were commendable. They were among those that had endured well and persevered and so forth. But there was something that Jesus had against this church. And it was the simple thing, they had left their first love. And it's not really clearly even explained what that first love is, but I don't think that it's primarily the love of the brethren or the love of people outside the church or the love of the ministry. I think it's the love of Jesus. And I think that it's, Luke, you brought it up, and I'll bring it up again. Yes, everything will be new in heaven. Yes, 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 yes. I believe that a real mark of maturity for us, listen to me, is that we are able to renew our position with Jesus, to reappreciate that relationship. Many of us experienced just amazing things the day we got saved. For me, it was the Word of God came alive, and I've heard that from many, many, many people. When the Holy Spirit comes in, he explains the Word, and wow, I never knew it. I never knew it would speak to me like this. My wife had so much change in her life that the teachers called her parents and said, what'd you do? This is a different person. Jesus wants you and me to renew that attitude. I think of it in two ways, our attitude and our reverence, our awe. We get crusty, and we no longer allow ourselves to be in awe of this God who's still working in me, you know, and amongst us. And so I have other thoughts to share concerning the last church spoken to, Laodicea, but I don't get that much time here. I'd be happy to talk to you if you want to know what I think about the church in Laodicea. I think that's very relevant for us here. But the stakes are really high. In this church, or to this church, to the church in Ephesus, it said, I want you to remember where you fell from. Do the deeds that you did at first. For many of us, it was things like, I'm not going to eat before I spend some time in the Word. I am not going to let that happen. I remember being there on that first hog farm, and at noon, I would think, am I spiritually minded enough? I'm not going to eat lunch until... I just wanted to be real, spiritually, to be real. And so that's one of the things for me to renew. Just check my heart. And skip a meal or whatever I need to do to make this special. The stakes are very high. If this church will not learn this individually, if we will not learn this, Jesus said, I'm going to come and I'm going to take your lampstand out of its place. And I'm not, I don't think that we should live in terror. This is the same Jesus that won't snuff out a smoldering wick. But neither do I think that we should be flippant. And neither do I think that we should not understand the gravity of reverence. The gravity of reverence. And so that's one, if I had my way, here's one thing for us as a church family, that we would become this year a church that more carefully guards our heart, and especially guards that newness, guards that new relationship. Val, you had many of them. I remember you talking about things that, whoa, changed for you when you came to faith. Yeah, do it again. It is good for us to be renewed.
All right, so based on what Bob was sharing, God knows what's going on with Lifehouse Church. It'd be nice if he would clue us in. What do we know? We know that we once were up to 50, and now we're lucky to get a 20 on any given Sunday. And so what happened? That's something I've been thinking about here recently. Of course, we're getting ready for the State of the Church address, and I'm thinking, well, what happened to Lifehouse Church? What happened to the dream, the vision, the goals? Well, it's good to think back over these past 10, 11 years here, 11-ish years, almost 12. And it's good to think back and say, okay, what happened there? Okay, so we came up to Decorah from Ames with a fairly spiritually strong or mature team. We had some real juggernauts. You know, we had the Bauer family. We had Darcy. We just had a good number of people that were laborers. They knew how to lay down their lives for the brethren. They knew how to do it, and they were willing to do that. And, up here we had my mom, we had Andy for a season. And almost for a brief moment, we actually even had a band. I just got done moving the old church drum kit over to Bob's place. Yeah, we had an old drum kit, I mean, we were actually making some progress and experiencing good, solid growth. Take a look at this picture from an Easter Sunday. I can't remember which Easter. I should have looked up which Easter Sunday that was. But this is where we were at, guys. We were on the move, and God was doing some really cool things. And so that was an Easter Sunday, probably 5 years ago. 2015, so 6-7 years ago. Okay, so yeah, guys, we were growing. We had Luther College students involved. We had a nice sprinkling of internationals, not just Sung Soo from Korea, but we had others. And there was excitement. And we were actually, this is how it was supposed to work, people. You know, and I kind of viewed this moment as, you know, the launching pad to really seeing this church grow and the greatest vision fulfilled. What's the greatest vision? To be able to influence the entire Northeast Iowa area, that it would have a notable cultural change in the sense that there would be a greater spiritual sensitivity, awareness, a more love for the Lord and for his standards, moral standards, that would typify Northeast Iowa. And practically we would do that. We were planning on starting new churches in the county seats, in the different county seat cities in upper Northeast Iowa. And there's the 5 or 6 counties here. That was the plan. That was the vision. That was the hope. That was the dream. And we were getting there. And then we ran into some serious attrition. No necessarily fault of our own. I don't think we were doing anything so bad that anybody was looking for any good reason to get out of here, because things were going well. But job issues, education issues, marriage issues, you know, people, they moved on for legitimate reasons. But who moved on? All of those spiritual juggernauts, along with Sarah Korfman at the time, now Hibbing, you know, others who really knew how to lay down their lives, they're the ones that left. So what did we do in response? Keep doing the same thing. And it didn't work. Why were our, engaging the city and the county in these wild and crazy evangelistic efforts, why were they not working now? They worked before. Why weren't they working now? We didn't have the same team. The team had changed, but our method, our plan, didn't change. And so all of a sudden, we found ourselves not experiencing the growth that we had before. This brings me to a verse that I would like to share with you guys as like a theme verse for 2022. A theme verse for our church. This is the verse. The surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward. This is in Isaiah 37:31. What had happened? Well, what's going to happen? Well, they're experiencing exile. They were being scattered and taken captive, and the glory of Israel was gone. But here the prophet Isaiah was making a prophecy, and he's saying, guess what, guys? We're just a remnant. The ones that were left behind, we weren't even good enough to be captured by the enemy. We must really suck, because they wouldn't even, not even the enemy would take us, you know? But here we are, we're the remnant. And this remnant, he's saying, is if you take root downward, you will bear fruit upward. The NLT, the New Living Translation, puts it this way: you who are left in Judah, who have escaped the ravages of the siege, will put roots down in your soil and grow up and flourish. We don't have the same team that we did back in 2015 or so. When we first moved up here, we don't have the same team. So what do we do? Well, take a lesson from sports teams. What do? When they all of a sudden, they have to shuffle the deck and they have a bunch of new, untested people on their team. They have to rebuild. That's what they talk about. They're rebuilding. These are rebuilding years. And we need to rebuild with what we got. And that's you guys. You are the ones, you are the remnant. And we need to rebuild. To do that, we need to put our energies and our focus on growing up. Growing up emotionally, we went through that series. What was the name of that series? Emotionally healthy spirituality. We'll go with that. So we talked on that. We touched on that. Now realizing, wait a minute. I think we're really onto something. We need to grow up emotionally. We need to grow up spiritually by putting our roots down into the heart and mind of God so that we begin to think the way God thinks and we begin to live the way Jesus lived. Okay? That's the goal. We want to be like Christ. So we need to put our roots downward in order to grow and then bear fruit. Well, how do you propose that we do that? Well, actually, Bob is going to tell us how we plan on doing that. Yeah,
I have an idea.
He's got a good idea, too.
How about, as a whole church, we get into the Bible? Oh, look. We have gotten a one-year Bible in the NLT for every person who is reading. And we would like you to come up and take one of these, and we're going to open it up this morning. Now is your time.
Go to the Word and grab it. We are giving you guys, we have invested quite a bit of money from the Lifehouse Church budget. We think it's a good investment. It's an investment into your lives, into your souls, into your growth. And though this is yours, all you have to do to get it is to walk up here and grab it. Go to the Word and take it. And then open it up. Once you get to your seat, crack it open. Yep, go ahead and crack it open. Yeah, that's right. In a year. Yeah. It would be a first. Yep, but the word Bible means the book. So if you're going to read a book, make it the book.
Okay, and so we're just not going to send you home with this here book. No. We are going to do much more than that. We are going to read it on Sunday mornings.
And?
Beginning this morning.
And we're going to teach it on Sunday morning.
And we're going to read it and discuss it in all our Bible studies, including the noon study.
Yeah, a new noon study plan, guys. You come to the noon study, we're going to be going through the one-year Bible. We're also going to read and discuss the one-year Bible in our life groups.
We're going to read and discuss it during our quiet times.
Yeah. And we'd like to encourage you guys to memorize key verses, verses that jump out to you, and to share what you read with each other. We are all going to be reading at the same place at the same time. And so it's like, hey, did you read that the reading today? Well, yeah, I did. I was like, what do you think about this verse? I don't understand it, or I don't get it, or I don't like it, or whatever you want to say. But you will have a point of reference to talk about the Word, because we're all going to be reading the Word at the same place at the same time. If you do this, if you read the one-year Bible readings every day, all year long, then Lifehouse Church will pay for your entire Fusion expenses.
Next year.
You'll have to do this in 2022. So that, so come next year when we do Fusion, bought and paid for. It's like a win-win. One, you read the Bible every day, and two, you get your way paved to Fusion. So, who's with us?
Okay. So then, We will begin today. I'm going to read column one, and we have seven other columns, and somebody else is going to read a column, and so forth. In the beginning, this is on page, it doesn't have a page number. It's the page that has January 1 on it.
Yep, go ahead and crack your Bible open.
Uh-huh.
The January 1st. And we're going to read January 1st together. Go ahead.
It's almost like the only page that doesn't have a page number. Anyway, here we go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land.
Let's pick it up from here. All right, go ahead, Luke. Yep, you finished the column. Olivia, go ahead. Cultivate. Ivala. Asher. Euphrates. Okay, who's next? Birds. But still there was. You need reader glasses? Explain. They're both naked. All right, just skip that small print and start with Matthew 1. This is a record. Descendant. I could finish it for you here. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nashon. Nashon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon. Who's next? Kristen? Next. Go ahead. No, not reading it. Psalm 1. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance by exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. And we just did it. That's the first reading. You know, it doesn't take that long, about 15 to 20 minutes, depending on your speed of reading. 15 minutes of your day. And you can gain the benefit of being exposed to the very thoughts of God. Sounds like a good deal to me. Right? And so, we're going to be immersed in this book, and we're going to take roots deep down into God's Word in the anticipation that doing so, we will bear fruit upward. Fruit of changed lives, of refined character, Christ-likeness in us, as well as the fruit of those who are lost and wandering without hope, without God in this world, and we will have enough of God's power and truth in us to be able to come alongside said individuals, lead them to Christ if that's what needs to be done, lead them to God's Word, and really grow that way. How cool would it be if each one of us were to make a New Year's resolution to read God's Word every single day? And some of them are going to be handmade for you. You just come to church. You just go to life group. You just have a quiet time, and there it is. And by doing so, you grow up into Christ-likeness, and you are able then to influence one other person. If each one could reach one this year, we would be, obviously the math is easy. You'd double in size. And so that's the idea, taking root deep into God's Word and bearing fruit upward. And so that is the plan. That's it. You know, in the past, we'd have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 ideas that we're going to run with. This year, it's one. It's this one, Luke. Share. Yeah. This is a good time. That is a good point. Wait. Isn't that good? That is a really good thought. Thank you for sharing that. All right, guys. I think we're going to go ahead and close off in prayer.
Well, I want to introduce the obelisk back there.
The obelisk.
See that thing?
Yeah.
And one thing that I noticed when we were reading this together is that God gave these two, responsibility. In fact, he gave them the whole world to be responsible for. And that was part of this communion that was to go on between his creation, the crown jewel of the creation that Luke's talking about here, and himself, that we're involved with him in the planet. And our offering is like that. It's definitely a part of our communion with God. That's what's going on in our offering, is communing with God. God, I recognize the way I do it, I have these envelopes, and I write down when we have income during the week. Patty gets a tip, we write it down. If I have an inspection, I write it down and just total it at the end of the week. And so that is my communication with God. Okay, you've blessed us this much, and so a tenth of that is this much. Thank you. Let's thank him together. Father, we thank you indeed that you have put us in an important position. position in your creation, to manage all things, but to your glory, for your glory. We take our cues from you, and we want to acknowledge our part in this now in the offering. We ask your blessing again on the givers and on the offering in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And tonight, then, we're a day behind, so tonight you can read.